This is the Bible Book Club. I'm Heather.
And I'm Susan.
And we're in the book of 1 Samuel.
Welcome to the club.
Well, in chapters 26 and 27, David passed his third and final wilderness test. This time, God put the entire Israelite army of 3,000 to sleep, while David and Abishai snuck into Saul's tent and stole his spear and water jug. Abishai wanted to plant the spear into Saul's heart, but David was adamant he would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. David refused to bypass his suffering in the wilderness by killing Saul and advancing to the throne ahead of God's plan. Saul woke up and admitted he was a fool to persecute David, and we all agree. Saul begged David to come back, but David didn't believe a word of it. That was David and Saul's last meeting. David, tired of the chase, decided to leave the wilderness for Philistia. It was a risky move to move in with the enemy, but the home team was trying to kill him, so what did he have to lose? David was hired by King Achish as a mercenary to raid the Israelites. David raids the Canaanites instead, making the job profit for Israel at the Philistines' expense.
For over a year, David bides his time with the Philistines, living in Ziklag and raiding Canaanites instead of Israelites, until a huge contingency of Philistines begins to form for a battle against the Israelites. And Achish calls up David and his men to take part. But first, in scene one, David gets a promotion with the wrong king.
Chapter 28. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, "You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army." David said, "Then you will see for yourself what your servant can do." Achish replied, "Very well. I will make you my bodyguard for life."
The whole David-Achish relationship is really comical. Achish, the Philistine, promotes David, the Israelite, to be his personal bodyguard, which in Hebrew translates as the guard of my head. So David, who cut off the head of Goliath, the giant Philistine from Gath, is now supposed to guard the head of Achish, the Philistine king from Gath. Achish is crazy, which we kind of talked about in the last episode. All right, then David boasts that Achish will see how great he is when they go against Israel. So what's going on here? Is David bluffing? How is this going to work? How can David be a bodyguard to protect a Philistine king against Israel and Saul, the king of Israel? David has made it clear that he will not kill Saul and that he's not going to fight the Israelites. So what is David up to? Well, before we get an answer to that, the author makes a pointed detour to check in on Saul. Scene 2. God's silent, Saul's scared, and dead Samuel speaks.
Verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spirits from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shenem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said.
So this is one of those crazy scenes that we're going to try to explain. So listen, Saul sees this huge contingency of Philistines and he is terrified because he's going into a battle without any intel from the Lord. Now, normally when Israel needs to battle, they consult the priest who has the Urim and Thummim, but Saul doesn't have it because back in episode 13, 1 Samuel chapters 22 and 23, Saul killed the priests at Nob and Abiathar escaped. And guess what he took with him? That smart boy grabbed the ephod with the Urim and Thummim in it and took it straight to David. The Urim and Thummim was a way of discerning God's will in a method similar to like casting lots, but Saul doesn't have it anymore. Saul has hit a wall. He has nowhere to turn for answers. Samuel's gone. The priests are dead. He killed them. And the Urim and Thummim are with David. Who can Saul consult about this battle against the Philistines? He needs Samuel. Therefore, he needs a medium to speak to the dead. Now, to Saul's credit, years ago, he had done the right thing for once and expelled the mediums from the promised land because it was God's command from Leviticus 19:31 and Leviticus 26, which states this.
I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spirits to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people.
The irony is, Saul is trying to pursue God to get answers in a way that God guarantees will cut him off because he's doing it through a medium whom he expelled. Like, he knows this, but he's still doing it. Saul had been taught by Samuel God's command and had obeyed by expelling mediums, but now he's using them to call up the man who taught him not to use mediums. Saul is crazy, and Samuel is going to be really mad. But Saul is desperate for a word from Samuel. Now, Samuel was probably the only solid connection Saul ever had to God, so it makes sense that he's desperately craving that closeness again, because he's faced with this army. What Saul fails to realize is that Samuel cannot own his relationship to God. Saul must own it. But he never did. He disobeyed God and he failed to repent. He never turned his heart back to God. So God chose another. He chose David. Cornered as he is now, Saul panics like a rat in a trap. He cannot find a way out with Samuel, he thinks. Can I turn the clock back and try to start over with Samuel? In this move to use a medium, Saul reveals how far he has fallen from God, from God's word, and from God's plan for Israel. It is a pathetic end to the story of Israel's first king. Now, the woman Saul seeks for answers is often called the Witch of Endor. It may be appropriate to call her a witch, but it is translated here as a medium or a necromancer, a person who makes contact with the dead. Now, the Hebrew word for medium is aun, which is this concept of speaking with a strange hollow sound, as if they are a tunnel or channel for a dead person to speak through. So a medium is one who channels conversation between the world of the living and the world of the dead. God had forbidden mediums. Saul knows it. The medium is going to be mad about it. And Samuel has some dark words to say because of it.
Verse 8. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. Consult a spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one I name. But the woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritualists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death? Saul swore to her by the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. Then the woman asked, whom shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel, he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul.
So apparently the medium had kind of been a little bit out of the business or maybe on the outskirts. And so she says to Saul when he comes, she doesn't know that he is Saul. She says, oh, I can't do this anymore. Remember, blah, blah, blah. And he says, don't worry, I'm not going to prosecute you. And so she does this. Now, there's much speculation about why the woman was so startled when Samuel appeared. Either she was a phony and was surprised by her own success, or she saw something more dramatic than she had ever seen before, or Samuel may have appeared before she did anything, because it says the minute he said, bring up Samuel, Samuel appeared, in which case it surprised her. Whatever the reason, the appearance of Samuel led her to the conclusion that this disguised man before her asking for Samuel must be Saul, because who else would Samuel appear for except the king that he had anointed? Either way, she is angry at Saul because he tricked her. He is the king who banished the mediums, and she is going to die, she thinks, because of his deception. The question for us is this. Are there real mediums today, or are they all fake? I don't know, but if there is an ability to connect with another world, it is not of God. God clearly prohibits it. in the verse Heather just read. And Leviticus 19:31 states this,
"Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God."
The fact that it is defiling confirms it is not of God and therefore evil. So how do we explain what happens next? Because Samuel, surely he wouldn't do something that was evil.
Verse 13, "The king said to her, 'Don't be afraid. What do you see?' The woman said, 'I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth.' 'What does he look like?' he asked. 'An old man wearing a robe is coming up,' she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground."
All right, so first, the Hebrew text makes this appearance sound much more interesting than the English text. When the medium states that she sees a ghostly spirit coming up out of the ground, the Hebrew word for spirit is godlike or celestial or transcendent in character, which also has been used to describe the dead in other verses. Now, I cannot answer why Samuel appears, nor do the commentaries agree to my satisfaction, and I read a lot of them. Some commentaries say the medium was just hoaxing Saul, but the prophecy of judgment on Saul is way too accurate and sounds so like Samuel. Others say that this was indeed an appearance of Samuel, despite the fact that Saul was breaking a command by calling up someone from the dead. And that's why Samuel appears before the medium does anything, so that she and Saul would know it had nothing to do with her. Perhaps, in my mind, Samuel just couldn't resist because he was so mad at Saul for doing this. Because I can just see Samuel sitting next to God and his anger growing hot as he watches Saul break yet another command that Samuel had taught him. And Saul is dragging him into his disobedience, like the nerve of him, I think Samuel was thinking. And then finally, Samuel is so angry, he can't take it. And he turns to God and he begs, "Let me go. Just give me 5 minutes with that Saul. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. He is never going to learn to obey. And I'm going to remind him that he is never getting the kingdom of Israel back, ever. It has been torn from him like he tore my robe. Where is that robe? I'm going to wear it to help that donkey of a man remember everything he has done." So Samuel throws on the old robe and makes a shocking appearance to Saul. And perhaps God let Samuel go because he and the angels, well, they like a good show. And a celestial looking Samuel shocking a fake it till you make it medium while reaming out Saul is just good fun. There you have it, my way of justifying Samuel's appearance from the grave.
Well, let's get back to our story in 1 Samuel chapter 28, continuing in verse 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I've called on you to tell me what to do."
Saul says, "God has departed from me. He no longer answers me." Saul cannot hear God because Saul silenced God. The priests were the voice of God, and Saul killed the priests, remember. And now, when he needs answers, the ominous silence tortures him. The question for us is this: how have we silenced God? Do we call on God only when we need him and largely ignore him when we don't? Because that's what Saul did. Saul heard the word of God through Samuel when Samuel was alive. But Saul didn't listen and he disobeyed. And now when he needs a word from God, he wants to listen. God's word is not an antibiotic taken only when we think we need it. God's word is a vitamin and our body needs a good daily dose. It needs to be absorbed and applied for results. Without a daily dose to build strength, we will not be prepared for an unforeseen battle. Just as Saul is not. So back to Saul. The pharmacy is closed to Saul. He has lost access to God. No more antibiotics. Saul is desperate. He needs drugs. He needs a quick fix to his problems. So he tries to get his drugs by buying them illegally from a medium. And Samuel, we will see, is not having it. The question is this: Do you treat God as a drug, a quick remedy for a problem when you need him? Or is God the word a vitamin for you, a daily dose that builds your strength in the Lord? The good news is this. We are not like Saul, with no access to someone who can help. We have one we can access, who has come back, ironically, from the dead, Jesus. And he has added his prescription for our life to the Bible. It's called the New Testament. Additionally, we have a new and improved 24-hour pharmacy that we have access to, the Holy Spirit. We have access to God's Word, and we have access to God's Spirit. There is no need for human prophets, priests, or the Urim or Thummim. And therefore, there is no excuse for us. If we don't use what God gave us, the Bible and the Holy Spirit, we cannot expect to be spiritually healthy. There is no quick fix. There are no drugs you can buy to fix the problem when you panic like Saul is panicking. The Xanax may ease the panic, but it won't remove the problem.
Verse 16, Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines."
Saul was so desperate for a word from Samuel that he broke God's command to try to get it. How he rationalized in his head that that would be okay, I don't know. So God let Saul have a word from Samuel, but it was not what Saul wanted to hear. Saul learns that tomorrow he will be with Samuel. He will be dead. He and his sons with him will die in a battle with the Philistines. His end is nearer than he ever dreamed, and his death will have nothing to do with David. It never had anything to do with David. It was Saul's sin that brought this consequence upon him. And you cannot escape the consequences of your own sin. The reality of Saul's sin finally hits home and sends him reeling.
Verse 20. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all day and all that night. When the women came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now, please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so that you may eat and have the strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the women in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left.
Well, being a woman, she's so good. She recovers and she tries to, you know, help him out. She realizes this is the king and she tries to help him. But Samuel's rebuke paralyzes Saul. He is shook. All right, back to David now, who is playing bodyguard to the Philistine king Achish and facing a battle with his own people. Scene 3, David's dilemma. Will David fight with the Philistines against Israel? Or will he turn on the Philistines in the middle of the battle? When we left David, he boasted to Achish, "Well, you will see what I can do in battle." Is David planning a trick on Achish and trying to talk him into letting him go with him? But how would that work? Saul wants David dead too, and would surely turn on him even if David tried to help him. Additionally, remember from past episodes that there are 5 Philistine rulers. Achish is only one of the 5, and the 5 city-states of the Philistines combined have a huge army, which is why Saul is so scared and consulted the medium. Does David know something we don't? David does have the Lord, the priests, and the Urim and Thummim. Did David know that Saul was going to die in this battle? Does David know if God wants him to fight or not? Does David know which team God wants him to fight for? Does David, like Joshua, know the outcome of the battle? He may have, but we don't.
Chapter 29. The Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear with Achish. The commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year, and from the day he left Saul till now, I have found no fault in him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the men back, that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? Isn't this David that they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands?"
The Philistines are not fools. Achish may be fooled by David's devotion, but the other army commanders are not. They are not going into battle with Israel before them and David the Israelite, the slayer of tens of thousands, behind them. "Send him home," they say. "We can't trust an Israelite in a fight against Israelites."
Verse 6. "So Achish called David and said to him, 'As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable, and I would be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until today, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers don't approve of you. Now, turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers.' 'But what have I done?' asked David. 'What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?"
David sounds disappointed that he can't fight. Was it fake or real disappointment? Either David was disguising his relief with fake disappointment, or he really was disappointed because he wanted to turn on the Philistines and aid the Israelites. Perhaps David was thinking this would be one more chance to prove his loyalty to Saul in battle. Or perhaps he was thinking he needed to protect Israel, for they were definitely going to lose without him. Or perhaps David was feeling protective. He wanted to fight for the lives of the people in the Israelite army that he loved, because remember, Jonathan would be fighting in this battle. So David may have been thinking, gosh, if I don't go and fight, I can't protect the people I love. We don't know.
Verse 9, Achish answered, "I know that you've been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said he must not go up with us in battle. Now, get up early, along with your master's servants who have come with you, and leave in the morning as soon as it is light." So David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
David doesn't get the chance because God intervened. David will not ever be accused of killing Saul or siding with the Philistines against Israel, because David was not with the Philistines when they defeat Israel and Saul dies. It was a good move for David in more ways than one. He should not take part in Saul's death to ensure a smooth political transition from Saul to himself as king. And the other reason is, there is something going on back home in Ziklag that needs his attention. David's family is in trouble.
What's a club without friends? If you're enjoying the Bible Book Club, why don't you share it? And then you can say,
Welcome to the club.
New episodes drop every Monday, and get all episodes now on Amazon Music. As always, head over to susanmee.com/Bible Book Club for show notes from today's episode. Bible Book Club is hosted by Susan Merrill and Heather Rubio, edited by Buck Buchanan, produced by Haley Mawat.